The word Blitzkrieg, usually translated as lightning war, evokes images of armored columns racing across open country, dive bombers screaming overhead, and armies collapsing before they can understand where the decisive blow has fallen. During the early years of World War II, the German victories in Poland, Norway, the Low Countries, France, the Balkans, and the opening stages of the Soviet campaign gave the term an almost mythical quality. To many observers, Germany appeared to have discovered an entirely new kind of warfare, fast, coordinated, technologically superior, and devastatingly efficient. Yet Blitzkrieg was not a single official doctrine written neatly into a German military manual, nor was it simply the use of tanks in large numbers. It was a method of war built from earlier ideas, industrial capabilities, tactical innovation, radio communication, air power, logistical planning, and a willingness to accept operational risk. Its real power lay in its ability to destroy an enemy's capacity to react. Rather than merely defeating forces at the front, Blitzkrieg sought to penetrate defenses, disorient commanders, sever communications, encircle formations, and turn local success into the rapid collapse of an entire campaign. In this sense, it represented one of the most dramatic transformations in military practice during the 20th century. The origins of mechanized warfare lay in the long and brutal experience of World War I. The industrial slaughter of trench warfare had revealed the limits of armies that relied on mass infantry assaults and rigid command structures. Between 1914 and 1918, millions of soldiers fought over ground measured in yards, while artillery, machine guns, barbed wire, and fortified trenches gave defenders enormous advantages. Tanks first appeared on the battlefield in 1916, when the British deployed them during the Battle of the Somme. These early machines were slow, unreliable, difficult to steer, and prone to mechanical failure, yet they suggested a possible solution to the deadlock of the trenches. Tanks could cross broken ground, crush wire, shield infantry from small arms fire, and carry weapons directly against fortified positions. By the end of the war, particularly during the Allied offensives of 1918, armored vehicles, aircraft, artillery, and infantry were increasingly being used together. The experience did not immediately produce a universal doctrine of mobile war, but it created a generation of officers and theorists who understood that future conflict would depend on combining different arms rather than relying upon any one weapon alone. In Britain, thinkers such as J. F. C. Fuller and B. H. Liddell Hart argued that mechanization could restore movement to the battlefield. Fuller believed that a modern army should attack not merely the enemy's frontline troops but the nervous system of the opposing force, its headquarters, supply lines, communications, and command centers. Liddell Hart emphasized the indirect approach, arguing that armies should avoid striking the strongest point of an enemy's defense and instead seek psychological and operational dislocation. Their theories did not always receive the support they deserved within the British military establishment, which often remained cautious about abandoning established traditions. Still, their writings circulated widely and influenced international debates about the future of war. Across Europe, officers examined the relationship between tanks, aircraft, motor transport, artillery, and infantry. Some concluded that armored vehicles should support foot soldiers in limited attacks. Others believed that tanks should be concentrated into independent formations capable of operating far beyond the original line of contact. This debate would shape the armies that entered the next World War. Germany faced a particular challenge after its defeat in 1918. The Treaty of Versailles severely restricted the German armed forces, limiting the army to 100,000 men and prohibiting many forms of modern weaponry. Germany was forbidden from possessing tanks, military aircraft, and submarines. These restrictions were intended to prevent another German war of aggression, yet they had an unintended effect.